Blog Talk Radio.
This Week in Health Innovation on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Welcome, everyone. I'm Greg Masters, the creator, producer, and co-host of the show. And also in the virtual studio today, albeit on the road in beautiful backcountry somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, is my colleague and co-host and talent, if you will, Dr. Phil Marshall, co-founder and chief product officer of the innovative patient engagement and digital health checkup company, Conversa Health. So good morning, Phil, and where out might thou be, brother?
Well, Greg, good morning. I am coming to you from some dusty road outside of Tacoma, Washington, on the way up to the America's Health Insurance Plans Annual Institute Conference. So I have pulled off the road in what I'm hoping will be a good and well-connected area to talk with our guest today.
So cell towers and bandwidth notwithstanding, that connection will remain intact. This Week in Health Innovation is brought to you by Health Innovation Media, where we monitor the innovation impulse from idea to business model. And today we resume our continuing focus on innovation in the emerging digital health economy with Ligia Ricciardi, the director of the Office of Consumer eHealth at the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT, also known as ONC. Now, I caught up with Ligia at the 5th Annual Health Data Palooza Conference in Washington, D.C., spreading the word and sharing the love of consumer e-health initiatives, including the fall rollout of the Blue Button Service campaign, and thought we might drill a little further into that today. Now more about ONC's chief consumerista. Ligia Ricciardi is responsible for leading the development and implementation of ONC's national strategy to engage consumers in their health and healthcare via information technology. Prior to joining ONC in 2011, Ligia ran Clear Voice Consulting, specializing in consumer e-health. Previously, she was a director in the health program at the Markle Foundation, a policy advisor and speechwriter for the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, a content manager at .com, and a research associate at Harvard Business School. She earned a master's in technology and education from Harvard and has also studied at the MIT Media Lab and Wellesley College. Ligia has lived in Europe, Africa, and sometimes equally exotic culture of Washington, D.C., where she currently resides with her family. So with that quick pass intro, Phil, help us get to know this passionate e-health consumerista.
Absolutely. And Ligia, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Greg.
So, Ligia, we've known each other for many, many years. I won't say exactly how many, but back perhaps about 10 years ago, we worked together on the Markle Foundation's Connecting for Health initiative, which was really some of the early work in helping consumers to be more equal partners in their care and really help them to navigate the data ecosystem in healthcare. Now that has really kind of come full circle and continued to evolve for you as you've helped lead such an important effort at ONC. And so my first question for you is, as you look back over the last 10 years or so and are seeing some of the recent energy around Blue Button and other initiatives, how would you characterize the last 10 years and how much we have either accomplished have not accomplished, but have still some hope in doing so?
So great question, Phil. Has it been that long? I guess
it has.
I think early on, 10 years ago, the Marco Foundation played an important role in bringing together diverse stakeholders and helping, among other things, to articulate this vision of a more empowered consumer and patient. And I think 10 years ago, people thought that was a little crazy. I've heard people talk to me about, for example, around that time period, being at the HIMSS conference, which is the big place where probably most of your listeners are familiar with it, but it's kind of a mecca for health IT geeks. And maybe 10 years ago, if you wanted to talk about consumer engagement, you had to kind of like whisper in the corners of the halls or pull people into quiet rooms and people looked at you askance. But I think that over the last several years especially, we've seen this gathering momentum that consumer and patient engagement is really makes sense and is in fact an integral part to changing healthcare and helping consumers to be more engaged in their health and their healthcare can be this amazing resource which really leverages the other efforts that we're trying to make to improve the healthcare system. So there's been definitely an attitudinal change, certainly among thought leaders. I think we haven't quite caught up yet in terms of reality. There are pockets of the country in which, and I would say the VA, for example, is one of them, or Kaiser, in which sharing information with consumers and engaging them in their health is more commonplace than it is for many of us in other pieces of the country. So we're sort of still in the midst of implementation on a healthcare system side. I think a really interesting thing that has been happening increasingly over the last year or so is that we've seen private sector consumer companies really moving into this space. And I was at the Consumer Electronics Show last January, and they've had a health track for, I think, a couple of years now. This was my first time there. But it really began to gather momentum and take off. You're seeing regular, everyday household consumer product type names, you know, Samsung and Apple and Google and Microsoft has been in this space for a while, but increasingly moving in and saying, from a consumer perspective, we want to help be part of this health ecosystem now. So we're seeing a shift. We're not yet where we need to be, but we've also come a long way. So it's has been and will no doubt continue to be a very exciting ride.
Well, and a lot of those recent developments we'll hit on here in the show today, whether it's Apple's Health Kit and helping consumers to aggregate and utilize their wearable or biometric data, or it's some of the more recent efforts that you and ONC have made in helping consumers gain better access to their own health information through the Blue Button Initiative. Recently, I had the pleasure of sitting in with the workshop on Blue Button Plus that you led at the recent Health Data Palooza. And I'm wondering if for our audience here today who haven't really kept up with everything Blue Button and consumer access to their health information, if you might give us a little bit of a snapshot of some of those recent developments, some of the partnerships and companies that are leveraging this standard, and really where do we stand on patients accessing their own health information, whether it be through that standard or otherwise?
Sure. So the Blue Button Initiative, for those who may not know it, is a public-private partnership. It's based out of ONC, but it engages a number of federal partners as well as private sector partners. And its aim is to empower consumers or patients with easy, ideally secure access to their own health records from a variety of sources. So in terms of the variety of sources, we're not just talking about you as a patient or consumer getting your health record from your doctor or hospital, although that's part of it. But it's a realization that health information comes from many different spheres. So, for example, pharmacies. You can pull down a list of the medications you've taken, the prescriptions that you've ordered from your pharmacist. And you can also get your information from labs, retail labs, directly. These are all different components of your health history, your health record. And what's exciting is, for one thing, it's hard for many Americans don't yet have full access to their medical records from their doctors. So the ability to pull information from these other sources, and health plans are a major player in this area too, means that you can begin to construct your medical record even if your doctor doesn't yet offer online access. You can get data about your health from other places and start to, again, compile that and say, hey, this is my record, and share it with others. If you are able to pull information from multiple sources, what's cool about that is you can say, hey, you know, there may be some discrepancies here. Why does my doctor's medical record say that I'm taking these meds and my pharmacy maybe has a different record? Something, one of these is right, or maybe both of them need some sort of correction or update. And being the patient who actually knows what medications you're taking or what your health history really was, you're in a great position to be able to help improve the quality of those records. So a lot of what we've done with the Blue Button Initiative is to work with partners, again, in the public and private sector. On the government side, CMS is participating, so Medicare in particular, and Medicaid. Also the VA, who is the leader, you know, first began using Blue Button to give access to patients to their records a number of years ago. The Department of Defense is very active in this area. And Indian Health Services is just joining as well. So all those federal partners are actively supporting this program. Additionally, in the private sector, we have a lot of leading health plans, pharmacies, labs, and others. You can see a full list on healthit.gov/pledge. But just to mention, we did have, you know, we've got Aetna, United, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, too many to list all by name, but again, that's where you can get the full list. And what's interesting about the initiative is that we have not only organizations who provide consumer data to consumers, but also app developers who are taking structured data and building worthwhile apps and tools with it to help people interpret their data. And additionally, consumer organizations who often have strong relationships with a particular, you know, constituent group. So, for example, the American Cancer Society or the Caregiver Action Network are all among, you know, organizations, AARP, who can reach out to their members, not so much by sharing data directly, but by sharing the message that there's a lot of value for you as a consumer in getting your own health data, checking it for errors, sharing it with other doctors or others whom you might trust, and also increasingly plugging it into apps and tools. So that's kind of what we're about. In terms of your question of what's going on, what's kind of the latest? So at Datapalooza, we were talking about an updated version of what we're calling a Blue Button Toolkit, which is kind of a one-stop shop, a blue button in a box, if you will, for any kind of organization that wants to help support the Blue Button Initiative. So it gives you some background information on what the initiative is and why you should get involved. And then it has tools for developers or data holders which address some of the technical standards pieces. Basically, with the Blue Button Initiative, we have pulled together a set of recommended standards from a national portfolio. These are existing standards. We're not building them from scratch. But in a collaborative process, we decided that there were certain ones that made sense to really emphasize from a technical perspective so that we can all use the same ones. And we've highlighted those standards, and those are available in this toolkit, as are marketing materials. So, you know, you want to get the word out about Blue Button? There are public service announcements. There are sample blog posts. There's all kinds of stuff. We were at Datapalooza. We were doing a preview of this toolkit, but we're going to officially put it out, I'd say, in the next couple months at least. We wanted to get feedback.
So lots of developments on that front. So give us a sense for where patient access to their own health data sits within the EHR environment. We know that, for example, view, download, and transmit is a requirement within meaningful use. I believe it's stage 2 meaningful use, which now physicians and hospitals are beginning to go after. And so give us an update on where patients accessing their health information sort of sits within that CMS incentive program and the meaningful use program.
Yeah, so you're exactly right, Phil. The ability for patients to view, download, and transmit their data is part of the Stage 2 meaningful use requirements. So certified EHRs need to provide the capability for patients to, again, be able to view, download, and share their data. And within the program itself, for those who attest to meaningful use, they have to show that 50% of patients actually have this capability, access to the capability to do this, and that 5% of their patients or consumers are actually taking advantage of it in some way, viewing, downloading, or transmitting their data. Stage two, as you know, a lot of basically the industry is currently now attesting to stage two, and there were some new numbers. I don't have them right in front of me, but I know that a significant number of hospitals and providers recently were reported to say that they've attested to stage two. But we'll continue to see growing attestation numbers in the coming months, I expect throughout the fall and early winter. One thing that consumers can do to find out the answer to the question, can I get access to my Blue Button data, is to check out the Blue Button Connector website, which is a tool that we built that helps you search by type of data source. So you can find out if your doctor or your hospital is already providing Blue Button data, and it'll actually link you to a direct, you know, link that helps you get that data.
Yeah, I was going to just ask you a clarifying question on that, and that is that there are a lot of Americans today that
yep.
have access to their health information through their provider. Epic's MyChart is a great example of a large footprint of patients that have access to their data. The VA is another example. CMS has Blue Button. But most of the access that a patient might have might be through their patient portal or through their provider's EHR installation. Those don't usually use Blue Button in most cases, do they?
So let's talk about what Blue Button is, because there's a lot of confusion about this. Blue Button is really a symbol for this idea of you can get your data and use it in, you know, for a number of purposes, meaning that we have a preference for and we're moving toward structured use of data. And as part of the Blue Button Initiative, as I mentioned, we've highlighted certain standards that we want everybody to follow in sharing that data. Not everybody is doing this now. And if you look across the environment, which includes many different kinds of healthcare data holders, from providers to pharmacies to plans, labs, et cetera, you'll see folks across a broad continuum. From some are just at the stage of, like, actually some don't provide any access at all right now, but others you are able to, as you describe, just view your information via a portal. Others enable you to download that data, but in some cases it's in a structured format, in some cases it's not. We're trying to move people along that continuum. So, you know, the way Blue Button was initially implemented at the VA, for example, you pressed a button and you got a simple ASCII text file or maybe a PDF. This wasn't structured data that you could use and reuse in an app or tool. This was several years ago. That counts as Blue Button. The most basic access to data is still Blue Button, but we want to encourage people to use a more structured format so that we move to a world in which we can more easily pull data from multiple sources in a predictable way and plug it into, again, apps and tools and services that are going to make it more useful for people. And one of the things about the Connector website that I mentioned that's kind of interesting is that if you click on a particular data provider, so let's say, for example, you want to know what's going on with Walgreens, you can you click on pharmacies, you see that Walgreens is listed there, and you can there's a sort of a graphic summary of, like, where are they? You know, are they giving visible access to my data? Can I view it? Can I download it? Is it structured? And we also include in there, are they using the Blue Button logo? Because we want to keep encouraging folks. There are a number of organizations that are providing access to data, so they're technically doing Blue Button, if you will, but they're not using the logo. But we want to encourage folks to use the logo in addition to whatever logo they may use for their company or their organization, to really show this universal symbol of you can get your data here. We want to really use it in the way that we use, for example, you know, Intel Inside or the Energy Star logo, which is something that you see across different products, but that indicates a similar capability or a similar characteristic.
I see. So it really is a symbol representing patient access to their information, which can be broadly interpreted in a variety of ways. But
yeah.
You as an organization and the Blue Button Plus initiative in driving things like the CCDA standard for download are really pushing folks along a continuum of structured data so that's usable, which makes a lot of sense. Now, I do have a couple of questions for you. So one is that as we look back over the last 10 years, and we've made a lot of progress, a lot more patients today have access to their own health information, whether they can download it or not, but they can at least perhaps print it, perhaps download it from their provider. I heard an estimate that says that something like maybe as many as 80 or even 100 million people do have access through their provider to their health record in some way, shape, or form today. First of all, let me ask, do you believe that is, you know, somewhere in the ballpark of being true?
So I'm not sure about through their provider, but I am more than comfortable saying that, say, 150 million or more Americans have access to some of their health records online. But again, I'm defining health records as not just your doctor, your provider, or your hospital's record, but also things like pulling from your plans, right? From your health plans or from, you know, so because of the members who participate in this Blue Button initiative, I would say, I mean, CMS touches 40 million Americans right there at least. We've got a lot of major data holders who are participating in this. And it's, again, I actually think it's a really conservative estimate to say that half of Americans have access to some of their data electronically. I'm sure it's a lot higher than that, but it's becomes really hard to calculate how much reach does, you know, we can figure out, for example, how much reach we have among health plans or even among providers, but then when you start layering in their pharmacies, like how do you know you're not triple counting people? So conservative estimate, you know, we say half of Americans have some access, but many Americans, myself included, have access through multiple sources in varying levels of, you know, structure and sophistication.
Yeah. Well, the question that I have is, so there's some portion of Americans, millions of Americans, that have access to their health record data in probably somewhat of a complete form. If you consider CMS members, you consider VA, you consider all the Kaiser and other members that might have MyChart or other similar technologies available to them that do reach across the continuum of care. Now, 10 years ago, we speculated about the benefits of having access to your health information, avoidable errors, for example, the fact that you can convey your health history more completely to a new provider so things aren't overlooked, et cetera. And so now that we've had this many years of experience and at least over the last, say, 3 to 5 years, millions of Americans have access to their relatively complete health history, you know, maybe not near half of the Americans, but probably in the tens of millions, say. What would you say about what we know now about the speculated benefits that patients would get from accessing that information, and have we realized it? Are we studying it? What do we know about whether or not it's working?
Yeah, so great question, and you have articulated a couple of the really, I think, most compelling benefits, but there are others. We are studying it. ONC has done some studies, actually, and you can expect one coming out later this year about access to data and what people are valuing in that and what they're doing with it. There's a lot of the research in this space so far has been about perceived benefits of access because, again, many folks don't have access. There's a couple issues. So I said that conservatively 150 million Americans have some access to data. But one big challenge is a lot of them don't know it and aren't taking advantage of that access. And that's in part because many of these, the ability to access the data has only recently been rolled out in, recent months. Very recently, we were under the 50% mark in terms of providers even having electronic health records. So this whole access itself, like access proportion numbers, are actually going up. But then, again, there's this big gap. The access may exist, but if people don't know about it or don't know why they should use it, they're not using it. So I want to get to the importance of driving consumer demand in a moment, but I also wanted to highlight a couple of other benefits of accessing your data. So you mentioned, checking your records, seeing if there are mistakes, avoiding mistakes. That's really important. There's a study that ONC sponsored with Geisinger Health System in which we gave, they gave, patients access to their meds list alone online, just their list of medications before they came in for a visit, and asked if there were any errors or omissions. And on average, people found more than two. And that was just in their meds list alone, not even their whole record. So there's a lot of value in improving the quality of information. And I know the Open Notes Project has found that as well. Also, as you mentioned, conveying information to a new provider, that's really important. It's basically a way to make health information exchange happen. I think we'd all like to see, and it's a major emphasis of ONC in the current year ahead, we've just put out an interoperability plan. One of the most important things we want to do is help health information flow. And the consumer is an important way to make that happen. If information is not flowing from provider to provider, often the consumer can act as, those of us in this industry would say an HIE, a health information exchange of one. Like you are your own coordinator of care, which may not just be from an old doctor to a new one, but many people have multiple providers. The average cancer patient, I heard, has over 30 providers, certainly over the course of their treatment. So, who's going to coordinate all that care? Possibly the patient and or caregiver. Additionally, though, I think it's really important when you do access your record, often you learn more and you understand your health and you can have a better conversation with your provider, even if it's just asking, hey, what does this mean? Do I need to worry about that value? Gosh, I didn't realize I had this condition. I heard a story about a woman at HealthWise told me about a woman who had seen in her record that her doctor had made a note that she was morbidly obese. And she said, morbidly obese? Gosh, I didn't realize it was that big a deal. I just thought, I needed to lose a little bit of weight. But you're telling me that I'm at risk of death because of this? And sort of seeing the words on a page made a real difference for her and resulted in some real conversations with her family, with her provider, and ultimately in behavior change because she took her condition really seriously.
And that gets into, for our audience, that gets into an even bigger issue of open notes.
Yeah.
And having, complete access and transparency in that information. But I do want to come back to one point, and we do only have a couple minutes left, but I think this last one will be an important one. And that is that the idea patients access their health information is logical. It's obvious, and it's one that many people, including you and I, have dedicated so much of our careers towards. But I'm wondering, now that so many people do have access, you say that maybe they don't know, but perhaps many do, perhaps tens of millions, in fact, know that they do have access. And while some of the benefits are obvious and, again, logical, I'm wondering if the reality of people actually using it for these benefits and seeing these benefits is happening. I wonder if we were right, is basically the end question that I'd like to lead with, and that is, were we right about the benefits of access and will patients care?
So I think we are, but that we're not seeing the full fruits of our labors yet. So let me give you two answers. One is that many people don't realize, they don't care, perhaps, about access to their health records until they get some frightening diagnosis or until there's an emergency and they need to care. And then all of a sudden it's the most important thing in the world. And that's okay. So that's one instance in which, people may know they have access to their records, but they're just not taking advantage of it because, they don't see a compelling need to. But I think the second answer to the question is to swing back again to this phenomenon that a lot of major consumer companies are moving into this space right now. I think as we see companies that are used to interacting with consumers and giving them tools and apps and gadgets that will take information, my hope, you know, from your health records, again, whether it's from your doctor or your pharmacy or whatever, but take health information and put it into a compelling app or tool that lets you better understand it and apply it to your life and the things you care about changing on a daily basis, which might be, as Susanna Fox would say, you know, fitting into your best genes, or they might be, you know, managing your diabetes, or it might, you know, some people are driven by many different motivations, but health touches so many aspects of our lives, and I think that with this information coming from your records being better interpreted for consumers by companies who are really good at this, hopefully we'll see a real uptick in people integrating their own health information into their daily lives and behaviors.
That's a great point, and I think what it does is lead us to what I hope will be a follow-up interview, perhaps in a few months, as Apple, as Samsung, as Microsoft all bring these tools to market to help people better gather and understand their health information and perhaps utilize the data that's accessible through the Blue Button standard. And I'd like to check in with you again at that time to see how this coming together of these markets, both the healthcare industry and the direct-to-consumer industry, is perhaps finally transforming people's access and use of their health information for what we hope to be their great benefit. And so with that, Lygia, thank you very much for joining us on today's show, and I really look forward to having that next discussion with you.
That'd be great, and thank you so much. Take care, Phil.
And that will have to be the last word for today's broadcast. I want to thank our guest, Lygia Ricciardi, the Director of the Office of Consumer eHealth at ONC, and my co-host, Dr. Phil Marshall. We do this weekly at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Join us next week for another episode of This Week in Health Innovation. This is Greg Masters saying bye now.